episode 156. Los Angeles Angels.
We do declare you to be a baseball PhD. Congratulations! All right!
Wouldn't it be great if you could get a PhD in life through baseball? Welcome to Baseball PhD, a tour company for your brain. 30 major league teams, 100 places to see. Let's touch them all as we make the road trip of a lifetime. It's a beautiful day for baseball.
Hi, I'm Ed Caspudis.
And I'm Farley Dillinger. Dave Matejczyk is on assignment. Welcome to Baseball PhD. The regular season is over. And tonight, the playoffs start with the wild card single elimination game in both leagues. I'm not going to miss it. It's time to watch the four wild card teams battle it out. Who will be the next Bucky Dent?
Bucky!
Don't forget to visit our website at www.baseballphd.net. Can you tell I am psyched?
Best website in the world! All right, I'm Ed. For all of our listeners who use our iPhone or Android app, this episode's bonus content will be our 2011 podcast of the Los Angeles Angels, which was episode 69 and released on August 5th, 2011, way before the addition of Albert Pujols.
Okay, you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter address is really simple. It is at Baseball PhD.
I invented that. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. We produce each podcast in two audio formats.
Enhanced podcasts with chapters and pictures for all of our listeners who use iTunes, and standard MP3s for everyone else.
Beautiful Anaheim.
Woohoo!
I love Anaheim. How about you?
It's a beautiful California city.
It's, you know, I watched The Housewives of Anaheim only because of the Los Angeles Angels and the Rally Monkey. It makes me kind of...
Rally Monkey, of course.
And remember the Crystal Cathedral.
Yes.
You know, I was there last year, and it all just... It is one thing to watch MLB Network now, having gone to all the stadiums.
Yeah.
All the highlights, it's like, been there. I've seen it all. It looks good. Do you like the playoff format? We've criticized it as purists, but, you know, sitting and watching TV, you know, the one thing that I think is wrong, they're going to play both games on the same night.
Yeah, I don't get that. And, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I really would have preferred a three-game series.
Right.
And that just would have been that much more excitement. That would have been that much more TV, revenue-gaining, rating stuff.
You know, they ran out of days.
Yeah, but all they got to... Okay, for going forward, all I got to do is have some doubleheaders during the season to get us a couple of extra days. It can be done. That's my take on the current playoffs. But it's exciting. I'm always excited about the playoffs. I'll probably have, two TVs on or at the same time or something.
No, I'm sure that they'll be flipping back and forth and all that stuff. And
no, maybe... I'll have two on at the same time.
Wow.
Or go to some place that does. You know, Champs or some of these places where you can go have dinner and stuff. They'll have multiple games on, HD TVs. I'll do that or something.
Who's your favorite in the playoffs? Right now we're guesstimating because we're taping this before we know with absolute certainty. But I think that the divisional, I mean, National League East, it's going to be the Nationals.
Right.
National League Central, it's the Reds. It's the Giants in the West.
Right.
All these other playoff teams, these wild cards, you salute them. But, you know, I think the one thing that this new format is doing is it's appropriately valuing the fact that if you win your division, it's a heck of a lot easier to go all the way than these poor wild card teams. That it's like you're putting two Chinese beta fish in a bowl and you're shaking it and you're betting a quarter on who's going to live.
Right. I think watching the American League East and how it shakes out is going to be interesting.
Baltimore has, I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But they're doing good stuff.
They're
doing magical stuff.
Those guys got it going on.
And they're neck and neck with the Yankees. And, you know, Tampa Bay, even though they've got great pitching, they sputtered. Yes. And, you know, the White Sox, do you really consider the White Sox a legitimate World Series threat?
No, see, I don't. And that's another thing that'll be interesting to watch. And again, we are taping this a little early, but I'm hoping that, you know, Detroit will be right there in it. And also the Brewers to see if they were able to get it going. And I think, unfortunately, by the time this thing gets released here, we're going to see that the Pirates did not make it.
Right. And, you know, the Angels, this is their podcast.
Oh, yeah.
They were not the Angels team that I thought they were going to be.
No.
They weren't dog meat, but they weren't the Angels team. You know, I thought they were going to be the Yankees of the West. And if anything, Oakland for 98% of the season outperformed them. And I have a lot of respect for what the Oakland A's did in the 2012 season. A lot of respect. Now, speaking of respect.
The Oakland A's, yes. The Oakland A's deserve respect.
Right.
Yes, I second that.
Yeah, they deserve a new stadium, too. But at the very least, they deserve respect. And, you know, we're all talking about these dreams of like a Baltimore versus Nationals World Series. No one's even mumbled.
Yeah.
Oakland, San Francisco.
Yeah.
The nicest stadium versus the worst stadium. So we'll see. But later in the podcast, we're going to do something that brings back great memories. We're going to do the baseball PhD ceremony for Tim and Todd Cook. Todd is a dad. Tim, who's also been to all 30 major league ballparks, is 6 years old. A six-year-old has been to all 30 major league ballparks. Farley, a couple years ago when we did my PhD ceremony, it took me 36 years. Todd, the
No, we did not do the baseball PhD when you were 36. Oh, you mean from when you started and saw your first game?
It took me 36 years.
From when you saw your first game. Very good.
Okay. Right, right.
And this kid's 6 years old.
And he's done them already.
Right. So there's no real age limit on getting a PhD here at baseball PhD.
We're going to set one. We can't have it where, like, right, we're all wearing the red PhD jackets and I'm sitting next to a kid who's, you know,
right,
playing with toys. Can't do that. But later in the podcast, we're gonna do the baseball PhD ceremony for this father-son thing. But let me give you a deep thought. Here's my deep thought. I have tremendous respect for Todd Cook, who gave his kid a once-in-a-lifetime memory of, I am going to go through the baseball Major League universe with you. Because, guys, one of the greatest gifts we can give our children is our time. It's our attention. And a lot of times, I know I have, Farley, I've gotten stuck in the mode where I'm trying to work hard and bring home the money and all that stuff. But you know what? In the end, they need our time more than they need our money. But they won't turn down our money. But they don't know that they need our time more. My dad died when I was 12. What I would give to have introduced him to my first girlfriend, to introduce him to my wife, to introduce him to my children, to sit on a kitchen table and say, we're thinking of going to Asia and adopting another kid. What do you think, Dad? That's priceless. Your dad is what, in his 70s?
Yeah, he's 78.
78 years old. And, you know, all the things that you remember of your dad isn't all the money he gave you. It's the experiences that you had. And I think the biggest compliment that we can give Todd Cook is that he's done a wonderful job of carving out time for his son and memories. And he's got a blog, and we'll talk about that during the PhD ceremony. He's put like 10,000 pictures up on the blog. If the rapture were to happen tonight or something else. And his kid's sitting in the living room like, where's daddy? He could at least go to the blog and relearn his life, because his father has documented what they did. And there's pictures of the kid eating pizza and playing on swings at the ballpark and all that. So his dad, in my opinion, has done a manly job of scrapbooking to make it acceptable so that we're not making fun of him that he has scrapbooks that are 10,000 pages thick.
Hi, this is Baseball Bob. Up next, Ed interviews me about the 2012 Los Angeles Angels and his Major League Baseball postseason, which starts tonight. But before the break, let me be the first to congratulate Ed for winning this year's Baseball Predictions Contest. 7 of this year's 10 playoff teams were correctly picked by Ed.
Need to look up some baseball facts?
Go to baseball-almanac.com.
Where what happened yesterday is being preserved today.
Don't forget the hyphen. That's baseball-almanac.com.
Great baseball PhD. Hello to the smartest man I know, Baseball Bob. How are you?
Well, terrific, Ed, but I can't see that I'm the smartest guy because you're the one that won the predictions contest.
Yeah. You know what? You get, let's put it this way. When I need wisdom, I still call you. I don't call myself. And when I look in the mirror, I'm not as impressed as I used to be. So, no, you are still the man. But think about it. I got lucky and I picked 7 out of 10, but who would have thought of the Washington Nationals? Who would have thought of the Baltimore Orioles?
Especially the Orioles.
Right.
The Nationals with Steven Strasburg.
Maybe.
But the Orioles, come on, nobody picked them.
Right. Right. And it's encouraging. You just can't buy a championship, or knock on wood, we'll see. But they ran neck and neck with the Yankees.
Well, that's what's incredible. And it wasn't a bad Yankees team either.
Right.
So.
Right. Right. No, yeah. Very good. But this is the Los Angeles Angels podcast. Let's talk about the Angels, because 6 months ago, many, many reasonable baseball fans would have said that the Angels were going to be a playoff team. Luckily, I had a hunch and I did not pick them, but they were not a playoff team. What happened to the 2012 Los Angeles Angels?
Well, it's a marathon, not a sprint, as they say.
Right.
And in any sport, defense is the most important aspect. And in baseball, the first line of defense is pitching. And their pitching really kind of let them down. I mean, they got out of the gate slow. Pujols couldn't get on track. Maybe pressure from the big contract. And then, of course, the new league and all. But when it was all said and done, he had a typical Albert Pujols year. The problem was, even though Jared Weaver won 20 games, C.J. Wilson came over from Texas, they were let down by Dan Heron, who was inconsistent, and
right.
Irvin Santana pitched the perfect game last year. It was
right.
just terrible. And then their bullpen. They don't really have a closer. So it was the pitching that let them down.
How smart were the St. Louis Cardinals in not signing Albert Pujols?
Well, I would think that all things equal, they would have preferred to sign him. But in that 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year in the
right.
National League, there's no way he's going to be playing first base.
Right.
So it made more sense for him to go to an American League team. I mean, you know, how smart were they under the circumstances? Boy, that was a tough call. But the great thing about the Cards is they had a fabulous farm system. They keep plugging the roster with their own talent.
No, I saw the Cardinals a couple times this year, and my perception was I kind of didn't miss Pujols in the Cardinal lineup. They still have enough solid guys that there's no glaring, you know, where is he?
Well, they had Lance Berkman for first till he got hurt. Then
right.
they brought in Beltran, and that was brilliant because they brought him in for a 2-year deal
right.
Instead of the 10. And so, yeah, I mean, and they're back in the playoffs too.
Right, right. Now, the last day of the season was 2 days ago, October 3rd. October 3rd was a big day for me. We just got done talking about the Angels did not meet our expectations. Let me throw three names out, and let's see if they exceeded our expectations. Oakland A's, Baltimore Orioles, Mitt Romney. Of the three, who exceeded your expectations more on October 3rd?
Well, I'll stay out of the political arena. Watching that game with Oakland
right.
and Texas,
right.
and granted, Baltimore had just over the whole season, just a wonderful season. Boy, Oakland, they just, who would have thought? I mean, they traded their two best pitchers in the offseason.
Right.
And Gio Gonzalez won 20 for Washington. And yet the guys they got back helped them.
Right.
That bullpen they got in the deal that they made with, actually they traded their three best pitchers, Trevor Cahill over to Arizona. All the people they got back in those deals helped them big time. And, of course, Cespedes, the international signing in the offseason. What a great story.
No, I mean, I'm in complete shock with the A's. I mean, I saw them start their season this year in Tokyo, and I thought that the Mariners actually looked better in Tokyo than the A's, and that's another example of it's a marathon.
You tell me one player on the Oakland A's in their everyday lineup who's a superstar.
Right, well,
or even a star, for that matter.
So Pettis is going to be. You could tell.
Yeah, that's true. But no one knew that to start the season.
Right.
Who on that team is a legitimate star?
Right.
I don't think you can name one.
No, but you know what? It's amazing that they took the last three games from the Texas Rangers.
I know.
Amazing. And they did it in a commanding fashion. You know, they with nine games to go, the A's were five games behind. They're the first team.
And on June 30th, they were 13 games out.
Right, right. And, you know, the only stat that I heard on October 3rd that was even more crazy, I mean, the very last day of the season was the first day that the A's were in first place. And I guess in 1951...
That was the last time.
The New York Giants were never in first place.
The shot heard around the world.
They tied the Dodgers on the last day of the regular season. Then they had the three-game series to determine who would represent the National League. And they won Game 3 with the shot heard around the world. The only problem is then they had to go play the buzzsaw called the New York Yankees.
And what day was the shot heard around the world?
October 3rd, 1951 at 3:58 p.m., I believe, Eastern Standard Time.
October 3rd. I don't remember the time.
But yeah, you're right. So you know what? We should have saluted that a couple days ago. And, you know, many people say that that was like the greatest home run. But no, if I'm Bill Mazeroski and I'm hitting the game winner in Game 7 in my backyard as a 10-year-old, that's the dream.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I can't remember the number of times that a World Series has been won with a home run. Joe Carter's, of course,
right.
comes to mind in '93, but
right.
there aren't many. You're right.
Well, many have happened in my backyard.
Yeah,
and I've hit them off the garage roof, and if only that would have translated into reality, but it didn't. So now let's talk about the playoffs. Who do you like in the American League? In fact, here we have the wild card team, and that's going to be the Rangers hosting the Baltimore Orioles. So, you know, roll your dice. What do you think of that game?
Well, everybody detests the fact that they could be one and done.
Right.
And wouldn't that be something if the team that was in the World Series the last 2 years is all of a sudden done?
Right.
Hats off to Baltimore. I don't know how they got there because I don't think they have the pitching.
Right.
But in a, you know, so I'm going to say, and I'm not, I don't like Texas's, if they happen to win the series or
the game
and go further, I don't think that they have the pitching that they've had the last couple of years. So I don't think they go that deep in the playoffs. But I would have to say overall, they're the more veteran, experienced team. I have to give the nod to the Rangers over the Orioles.
Right. That's my gut. And you know what? Having played so terribly in Oakland, sometimes the law of the universe is they won't play terribly for the fourth game in a row. They will go back to Rangers ballpark and they will take care of the Orioles, and Cinderella will have to fly back east. But I don't know. A month ago, I would have told you that the Rangers had a legitimate shot at three-peating as American League champions. But let's go to the senior circuit now. We've got the St. Louis Cardinals visiting the Atlanta Braves. And look at the gap. You know, Atlanta has been a strong, we're the wild card team, and St. Louis just hung on. So they're really the fifth team now. What do you like, or what do you think of that matchup?
Well, I'm not sure if the starter's been announced. I mean, because that's what it comes down to, the next day's pitchers. But I got to tell you, I think I like Atlanta better because they have better pitching.
Right. Okay. And then in the National League overall, what's your gut? Who do you think is going to win the National League?
Well, I think I'll put it to you this way. I think that I'm going to pick the Reds and the Nats to play for the pennant.
Right.
And those are the two, as it turns out, the two winningest teams. But I don't say that because of that. I just think that they're the two superior teams in the league.
Right.
And boy, that's going to be a fabulous series because I just think both teams have it all, and that's going to be hard. I'm not sure I can make a pick there right now, but I'll say those two are in the league championship series.
All right. And since I'm an Ohioan and I have a vested interest that I would like to drive to a World Series instead of fly, go Reds. Go Reds. Now let's
go. They're a wonderful story because they're a medium market
right.
team that's done it largely through their own farm system.
Right, right. And, you know, Cleveland Indians and all these other organizations.
Pittsburgh, Kansas
yeah.
City. They need to follow the Reds model.
Yeah, so I salute the Reds and go Reds. Now let's go to the American League. Who do you like in the American League?
Well, again, I think it's going to be hard to pick. I don't think Texas goes that deep because I don't think they have the pitching.
Okay.
And I think it's going to come down to the Yankees and Tigers. And Sabathia
wow.
and Verlander are going to just fight it out to the death. Because
wow.
neither team, I think both teams pitching beyond those aces, and they clearly are aces, is a little suspect. I mean,
right.
if Scherzer comes back for Detroit, that helps him.
But he's got a tired arm.
I don't think that the Yankees beyond Sabathia are all that fabulous.
Well, I'm going to differ with you. I'm going to say, since I'm the predictions champ, the amazing A's. I think that they're just getting hot at the right time.
They may be just getting hot at the right time.
Right. And you know what? That's the motivational speech.
But they're young, and that's, you know, I agree with you on getting hot at the right time, kind of
right.
like the Cardinals last
right.
year. The
right.
difference being the Cardinals were a team of veterans.
Right.
That's but anything true. Could happen.
No, anything can happen. That's why
we. That's why it's so important for Oakland to win a couple of days ago because. You know, now they get to play the longer series.
Right. Right. And they can set up their pitching rotation and all that. And just the swagger. Now they can go to Texas and look at those guys and go, come on.
Look, we beat the team that's been to the World Series the last 2 years.
Right. And we had
decisively.
Yeah. So I'll argue that Oakland just beat Texas in a best-of-five-game series, and they swept them 3 games straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. But, hey, Baseball Bob, it's been a great year. I'm sure we'll talk to you during the winter podcast. But thank you very, very much for being on Baseball PhD.
Visiting all 30 current Major League ballparks is always an impressive accomplishment, which also earns the title of being a baseball PhD. Up next, the baseball PhD ceremony for Todd and his 6-year-old son, Tim Cook, who started his 6-year journey when George W. Bush was president and Barack Obama was a first-term senator from the great state of Illinois.
Have you bought the Baseball PhD iPhone app? You can take us on your next road trip and stream all of our episodes directly to your iPhone, iPad, or iTouch and listen to our bonus content. Buy it at the iTunes Store for just $1.99.
I used to sit with my dad in the garage. The sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Dave Lee House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995, the division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning. Got the whole town listening, swung on and belted. The words distorted, Joy Corr around third. Here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate, not in time. My oh my, the Mariners win it. Yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome. We had just made history.
And swung on the line, now left field line for our base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My oh my.
Welcome to the Baseball PhD ceremony of Todd Cook and his 6-year-old son, Tim Cook, who on Friday, August 31st, 2012, visited Miami Marlins Park and completed their journey to see all 30 Major League parks.
On their trip to Marlins Park, Todd and Tim watched the New York Mets beat the newly renamed Miami Marlins. R.A. Dickey pitched a complete game shutout to earn his 17th victory of the season.
Todd's first Major League game was at the Big A in Anaheim in 1976, during the first year that he was born and before the conception of the Rally Monkey. Little Tim's first game was in Seattle at beautiful Safeco Field, home of the Seattle Mariners, on September 12, 2006, in front of 24 family members and friends. What a start for the 7-month-old. Now, in fact, Todd has created a blog, cookandsonsbats.mlbblogs.com, about their baseball adventures. Todd has kept track of all of Tim's travels, and they are
34 stadiums. Number 1, Safeco Field on September 12, 2006. Citizens Bank Ballpark on June 30th, 2007. Camden Yards, August 9th, 2007. Yankee Stadium, September 3rd, 2007. PNC Park later that month. Great American Ballpark on August 15th, 2008. 2 days later, Progressive Field in Cleveland. Chase Stadium, September 7th, 2008. Chase Field, September 12th, 2008. City Field, April 25th, 2009. Nationals Park, 1 month later. Yankee Stadium, July 2nd, 2009. Fenway Park, a day later in 2009. Wrigley Field, in August 14th, 2009. The Metrodome, August 15th, 2009. Miller Park, the next day. U.S. Cellular Field, the next day after that. Rogers Center in Toronto, Farley. They had passports.
Yeah.
On September 26, 2009. The Oakland Coliseum on June 9th, 2010. Dodger Stadium, 2 days later. Petco Park the next day, and then Angel Stadium of Anaheim, where Todd saw his first game. And then the next day, you went to San Francisco, AT&T Park on June 15th, 2010. In 2011, the both of you went to Minute Maid Park on May 27th, 2011. The next day, Rangers Ballpark in Arlington. And then a few days later on July 3rd, beautiful Comerica Park in Detroit. Sun Life Stadium on August 13th, 2011. Turner Field 2 days later on August 15th. Tropicana Field on August 19th, 2011. And now let's go to 2012, your last year before you completed your odyssey. Target Field on May 12th, 2012. Busch Stadium 2 days later on May 14th, 2012. 2 days later after that, let's go to Kansas City and the City of Fountains, Kauffman Stadium. And then 2 days later, Coors Field. And last but not least, beautiful Marlins Ballpark on August 31st, 2012, to complete the PhD of both you and your son. These two great fans represent the new normal in our world. It took Todd, the dad, 36 years to complete his journey. It took his six-year-old son, Tim, 6 years to travel the baseball world on his dad's dime. Only three major league ballparks are still being used from the day Todd started his journey. Those parks are the three oldest in the major leagues: Fenway Park, built in 1911, Wrigley Field, built in 1914, and Dodger Stadium, built in 1962. When Todd started his journey, Gerald Ford was president. When Tim started his journey, George W. Bush was president. It took little Tim only 2,180 days to see all 30 current Major League ballparks. It took his dad, Tim, six times as long, 13,149 days. Along the way, Todd graduated from Temple Law School and became a partner in a law firm, while Tim is learning phonics in the first grade. Todd and Tim Cook, since you have been to all 30 current Major League ballparks, it is time for your PhD examination. Tim and Todd, how many Major League ballparks have you been to that are now closed?
We have been to, I've been to seven Major League ballparks that are now closed, and Tim has been to four. Before Tim was born, I went to the Kingdom many, many times. I went to Veterans Stadium probably a dozen or more times, and one game at RFK Stadium.
Wow.
Once Tim came along, we went back to Old Yankee Stadium, the Metrodome, Sun Life Stadium, and Shea Stadium.
What was your fondest baseball and non-baseball memories from these ballparks that are now closed?
Well, I think that my fondest baseball memory, probably one of the most interesting and potentially historic games that we've seen together, was the one game that Tim saw at Old Yankee Stadium. And it's an interesting game because it ended up that the Yankees threw over 600 wins on the mound that day. The starter was Roger Clemens, and first in relief was Mike Messina. It was actually Mike Messina's only career regular season relief performance.
Wow.
And Roger Clemens' final career regular season loss, which obviously meant my Mariners won, and Ichiro hit a home run, which was his 200th hit of the season that year. As non-baseball, probably just nostalgic value was taken Tim to the Metrodome, where, you know, I grew up going to the Kingdome, and it was just very nostalgic to take Tim to his first dome stadium. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Now, let's put the six-year-old on the phone, because I'm a baseball PhD, and I can't believe that a six-year-old is in my status. Tim, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What was your fondest memory of all the stadiums you've been to that are closed right now?
Well, I do have a good memory in Sea Life Stadium.
Sun Life Stadium.
Sun Life Stadium.
What was that?
When we got two balls, how many balls did we get there?
I think we got three there.
Wow.
That was a pretty good memory.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of going to a ballpark with 500 fans.
Also a benefit.
It was funny when we kept yelling at that guy, like, "Hey, dude, yell the ball!"
That's Miami hospitality.
Going to a stadium with a little kid in these times. Players love to give baseballs to little kids nowadays.
Right, right.
It looks good on TV.
Both good men and bad men.
Well, let's see. Your journey has been really impressive, but I did notice that there were a couple of places that you haven't been to yet, kind of including the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the College World Series in Omaha, and the Little League World Series in South Williamsport there in Pennsylvania. Now, are these any of these destinations on your bucket list?
I've really been concentrated on the major leagues, so I've never really even given much thought to the Little League and College World Series yet, although the Little League World Series is really close to where we live. But definitely I have concrete plans for the Hall of Fame, and the plan is to be there when Ken Griffey Jr. gets inducted. He's been my favorite player since, 10 minutes after he debuted in 1989.
And he retired in what year? Last year, was it?
Retired in 2010.
Oh, okay. So we've got three more years. So by then, Tim will be 9, and maybe his voice will start to change.
What? Where are you trying to? I'll be 9.
Tim, do you understand that someday your voice will change?
What are you going to say?
That someday your voice will change?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's explore the 30 major league ballparks that you and your son have visited on a division-by-division basis. Let's start with the mighty American League East. We've got the New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Boston Red Sox, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Baltimore Orioles. Now, Tim, is it my understanding that when you were in Tampa Bay, did you feed the Rays?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Buy all the team members hot dogs?
No. We bought little fish.
Oh, are you talking about you fed regular Rays?
Yeah.
Did they sting you?
No.
Were you scared?
I was scared to pet it.
Was it just one, or were you like in a sea of 20?
There were like 20 that were swimming around in a little tank, but we were actually outside the tank.
Right.
And there's also some other animals, and there's some horseshoe crabs and things
wow.
like that.
So, Tim, is it fair to say that that was a great memory that you'll share with your dad for the rest of your life, feeding those Rays?
Yeah.
And actually, my mom and dad were both there. He actually spent a lot of time not watching the game and watching the Rays with my mom. I don't know how much my mom got to watch those games.
Right. So let's talk about Todd, the dad. What is your favorite memory of the American League East, both baseball and non-baseball?
I think baseball, one of really my best baseball memories, period. I already said I've been a huge Griffey fan for a long time. Griffey has had a really cool career for me because he came in when I was in middle school and he retired when I had kids already.
Right.
So, I grew up going to games with my parents, watching Griffey and loving Griffey. And when he came back to the Mariners at the end of his career, the first time that Tim saw Griffey get a hit, we were at, it was 2009, we were at Fenway Park, and he hit a line drive off of the Green Monster. And it was one of the greatest, baseball moments and just a great life moment to share with Tim.
And what about non-baseball memory?
Non-baseball, let me see. I mean, one of the really cool things that we did on a trip, we take a lot of weekend trips Tim and I, or now my younger son, Kellen, joins us as well. And every once in a while, we get graced with my wife's presence. And one of those times was when we went up to Toronto to see the Mariners up there, and we took a side trip to Niagara Falls and went out on the...
Right.
On the...
Maid of the Mist.
Maid of the Mist, yeah.
Did you see a mermaid?
Do you see any mermaids on the Maid of the Mist? No, we saw a lot of mist, though.
Okay. I mean, even though Tim is a baseball or soon-to-be baseball PhD, he still believes in the tooth fairy and mermaids, correct?
Definitely.
Okay.
He just lost his first tooth and had his first interaction with the tooth fairy. He actually saw every baseball stadium before losing his first tooth.
Wow. That is a new challenge for our baseball PhD listeners.
Yes.
If you really love your children.
For most of us, it's going to be before we get false teeth, actually.
Right, but right.
Good job. Good job.
Now there was a loose tooth right next to it.
Yeah, now you have another loose tooth ready to come out.
All right, hey, now let's travel over to the American League Central. Of course, that's the Twins, the White Sox, the Tigers, Kansas City Royals, and the Cleveland Indians. What was your fondest baseball and non-baseball memory from that?
You know, we have a very similar best baseball memory, and it's actually a very funny memory because Tim was very young and was sort of in the middle of a little tantrum at the time. But at Progressive Field, Tim and I saw together our only Ken Griffey Jr. home run. And it's actually really, really cool. I took a screenshot of the game later, and you can actually, I mean, you can't tell it's us, but... you know, knowing that it's us, I can see us in the background as the home run goes into center field. We were up on the walkway that connects the second deck to the parking garage across the street. So it was really cool to be able to see, you know, my favorite player hit a home run, you know, while holding my son, and then to see a picture of it, you know,
right.
On TV. And I have that, you know, I've saved that picture. As far as non-baseball, I think one of the fun things we've always done since 2008, we've gone on a baseball road trip, grandfather, father, son baseball road trip with Tim and my dad and myself. And this year, my younger son, Kellen, who is two, started with us. But a lot of the times we camp on those trips.
Wow.
And after a Cleveland Indians game as well, a fond memory that I have is watching my dad help Tim cook his first ever s'mores around the campfire just outside of Cleveland.
So what parking lot in Cleveland was that activity?
Yeah, what was burning?
Oh, it was at a KOA in like Streetsboro.
North Olmsted Walmart.
We've become KOA members, and we...
Let's go over to the American League West. So, of course, that's the Mariners, the Rangers, the Athletics, and the Angels of Anaheim. So, again, just to kind of hear your fondest baseball and non-baseball memories from that division.
I mean, our best baseball memories have been all the Mariners games there. I mean, we're huge Mariners fans, and we see the Mariners a lot of places, but it's great to see them at Safeco Field, and we've seen them about 20 times there. It's great to be able to do that because the whole crowd cheers along with us. Really the best baseball memory from Tim's perspective, mine and Tim's perspective, is Tim's first game. It was just a really great event that a whole lot of family was at, about 24 family members. In terms of non-baseball...
That was September 12, 2006, and from what I understand, your family has a tradition. You guys always go to a baseball game on September 12th.
We do, you know, it happened by sort of dumb luck. We happened to end up at a Phillies-Rockies game on September 12, 2007. I realized what the date was during the game, and I made a decision right there that I would take Tim to a baseball game every year of his life on September 12th. So we've done it so far. We were at Camden Yards last week on September 12th and had a great time.
Now it's time for the senior circuit. Since we just left the American League West, let's start with the National League West. We've got the San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres, the Colorado Rockies, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. What was your fondest baseball and non-baseball memory?
I think with the with baseball, I'm going to go with the games that we saw this year at Coors Field because we hadn't seen every stadium at that time, but when we went to Coors Field, that marked us having seen every team play at home, every Major League team play a home game.
Right.
And we got to see the Mariners there, and they won both games in convincing fashion. And through my blog, actually, the MLB blogs community, there's a great community on there. So we knew a lot of people in Denver just through the blog.
Right.
And we had a great time there. For non-baseball, probably spending time with family when we were in Los Angeles. My dad has a brother and I have cousins who live in the Los Angeles area. My uncle joined us for a Dodgers game, and we spent time with my cousins, you know, going through Hollywood and doing the beach out there. I think those are probably, you know, the most fun we've had outside of baseball while visiting NL West teams.
Right.
So let's head out to the National League Central now. We've got six teams here.
The mightiest division in all of baseball.
The Reds, the Cardinals, the Astros, the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Pirates. So again, you know, be curious to hear your favorite baseball and non-baseball memories from that division. I hope Wrigley Field plays into this.
Well, you know, we did have a great memory in Wrigley Field. I wasn't gonna say it, but if you'd like my best Wrigley Field memory, I can tell you that the first time Tim ever saw a team score 10 runs in an inning was at Wrigley Field.
Ah, that's cool.
And that was a really cool thing.
And was it the Cubs scoring those home runs?
It was the Cubs who won. They won huge that day. They almost scored 20 runs. I think they scored 17. And it was a great environment, you know, with the singing the song at the end of the day and everything. So that was a lot of fun. I think the best non-baseball, and Tim can chime in here, we had a lot of fun this year going through St. Louis between going to the Arch, and they have a really fun kids museum there.
Right.
And then also, we camped there, but we camped at the KOA where they have a camping cabin that is an actual caboose, and Tim is a big train fan, so he really enjoyed the caboose.
Tim, are you there?
Yeah.
What's your favorite stadium between Busch Stadium in St. Louis or Wrigley Field in Chicago?
St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I would agree with him that he'd say St. Louis because when he went, he's only been to one game at Wrigley, and it was after a flight in, and he did a lot of sleeping on my shoulder during that game.
Got it.
He was probably three at the time. But we had a lot of fun in St. Louis this year.
Good. All right, we have one division left, and that is the National League East. The Phillies, the Braves, the Marlins, the Mets, and the Nationals. So, again, tell us a little bit about your favorite memories from that division.
I'll start with a non-baseball memory. On our road trip last year, we did the Southeast, and my dad has an aunt who lives in Georgia, who we about an hour north of Atlanta. So we took a side trip on that trip to Dahlonega, Georgia, where we went to an amazing gold mine, the Consolidated Gold Mine, where we were able to do to pan for gold and also tour the actual gold mine. And Tim really caught gold fever. Want to tell him about it?
Yeah. I got two pieces of gold when I was gold panning.
Right.
I was dipping it in water over and over and shaking it over and over, but then I just found two little pieces of gold.
Did you save it?
And when we went in the gold mine, the real gold mine, that day, conked out with dynamite. That's what they did.
And do you know how much gold is per ounce right now, Tim?
I was going to say, hopefully he didn't have to pay tax on that.
There's gold everywhere. Did you see those little bits of gold in the wall?
I did. They show you a lot of gold that's still there that you can't get when you're on the tour. But if anyone goes through Dahlonega, maybe on a way to a Braves game, it's a can't miss. I'll tell you, I wasn't really looking forward to it when my dad said, "Oh, when we go there, we'll go to this gold mine." But it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. In terms of baseball, we've spent a lot of time in the NL East because we live, you know, just out of Philadelphia. So I don't really have one specific baseball memory. I mean, we've seen a lot of great baseball in the NL East. We've seen, you know, a triple play at a Phillies game, we saw Barry Bonds hit not a 700-plus home run, but I think number 689 or so. So we have seen a lot of really, really fun baseball in the NL East.
Now, what's your favorite ballparks? With 30 major league parks, as our listeners listen to your answer, if they could only go to, let's say, two or three or four of them, what would you advise them where to go?
You know, this is an interesting thing, and I've debated with my friends a lot about what's the best. And I can certainly tell you what's the best to me, but it's so subjective. So I'm not going to begrudge anyone who differs from me. But historically, the Kingdom is my place. After the Kingdom, Safeco Field is amazing. Camden Yards is an absolute can't miss. I don't know how anyone could say anything bad about Camden Yards.
Right.
PNC Park is amazing. And one that I really didn't know what to expect and was really excited for was Comerica Park, where we went last year. And that is an amazing ballpark. And then, totally unlike all those, I don't know that you can beat Fenway. Fenway has amazing people. The fans there are so nice, and it's just a great bit of, you know, baseball history in the current day.
Wear your Yankees jersey and see how nice they are to you there.
When you wear a Mariners jersey, they're very nice to
I
you
bet.
There.
I cool. bet, yeah.
The Mariners don't excite passion for outside of the Seattle area.
Actually, I'll tell you that if you wear a Mariners jersey anywhere, pretty much people are pretty nice to you.
I believe right. that is true.
So I would say the Seattle Mariners and the Kansas City Royals make everyone smile. They're the happy folk. They haven't been in warfare. And, you know, although you guys are baseball, or you're going to be baseball PhDs, my dream for you someday is a Mariners World Series. Something that
it's
even
my dream for us as well.
Right, that Dave Niehaus never even lived to see.
Yeah.
I hope at least Little Tim will live to see that. Little Tim, what is your favorite Major League team mascot?
Actually, I have two favorites.
Okay.
One from my favorite team, which is the Mariners, and the Oriole, because he is really funny. Once he even danced with me, like, I got my picture with him, and then he picked me up and, like, swung me upside down and swung me side to side. It was so funny.
Wow. That does sound like a
and
good
once
time.
Once I was wearing a Little League hat, and he took it off of my head and ate and pretended like he was eating my hat. And he pretended to spit it out like...
Wow. Very nice.
They learned those mannerisms.
Yeah,
those
I guess
mascots.
Your hat wasn't too tasty. Hey, Tim, you know, a lot of the major league parks now have areas for kids to play. So have you done much of that? And what park has, like, the best play area for kids?
The Phillies is one of the best ones because you can go, like, really high. There's, like, a little ladder where you can climb up and go super high. And there's a window you can look out, and you can almost see the field if you were in if there wasn't a big wall in front of you.
And then there's a big slide all the way down from that top.
Yeah,
right?
And then there's a big swirly slide all the way down.
So Citizens Bank Park will not disappoint you, even if the Phillies are not having a great year. There's still a good playland for the kids.
There definitely is. And you know what? From the dad's point of view, they have a TV at it. So, you know,
you
there's
can watch
a nice
the game.
Play area at Nationals Park, and you can't see the field from it, and there's no TV, so you have absolutely no clue what's going on.
Right.
Oh, all right. That's a good point.
Actually, another dad tip at Citi Field, there's a play area with different things behind center field, and they actually have a smaller scoreboard and Diamond Vision screen on the back of the main one, so it's really great viewing for the dads back there.
Right. Now, your family has not tried the Bernie Madoff wall climb at Citi Field yet.
Not yet.
Oh, all right. So let's do this, Todd. In one sentence, if this is possible, what have your baseball PhD travels taught you?
I think the main thing that they've taught me is that, you know, you need to make sure in, you know, your busy life that you take time out from all the business to do the things that you really love and to share you know, experiences of things that you really love with your kids. I lead a very busy life, and you know, I really maximize my weekend, so I've had so many great memories with Tim that I'm always going to cherish. So I think that's the main thing.
And I guess in closing here, we'll just ask, and I kind of think I heard a little bit of it right there, but any parting advice for those who are working on their baseball PhD, or I guess I would even just say baseball fans in general, what's your parting advice to them?
My parting advice is just to do it. I mean, a lot of people say that they want to see every stadium and they want to, you know, do a lot of things, and, you know, just do it. I think, you know, one day sort of our travels started because Shea Stadium was going to close, and I thought, you know, Tim's never been there. And just on the spur of the moment, I decided, let's get in the car and drive up there. And, you know, ever since, you know, we've just been doing it, and it's a great thing to do. So get out there, you know, if baseball's your thing, you know, show up for batting practice. You know, the stadium opens 2 hours before the game, and you're missing out on half of your adventure if you only show up when the gates open. Just get out there and do it.
And in closing, Tim, do you have any idea how special your dad is by taking the time and spending the money to show you our great country by visiting all 30 major league ballparks?
I don't think he understood your question.
Well, hey, Tim, is your dad cool?
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed all the games and stadiums we've gone to?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, with that advice, or with that declaration,
okay, we,
Todd and Tim Cook,
yes, we do declare you to be a baseball PhD. Congratulations. Congratulations!
All right!
Thank you. Now the stretch and the 2-0 on the way to Edgar. Swung on and a high fly ball into deep left field. Back to the track is Lee.
Next up, it's time for the close of the podcast as Ed and Farley say goodbye to Anaheim and wait to see who will be in the league championship series.
Farley, our next podcast is going to be the league championship series on October 12th. We're not going to look at the last four. We're going to look at the final four. Forget these wild cards. We're going to look at that. And then on October 22nd, it's our World Series podcast. What city are we going to go to, Farley? I mean, it's exciting. Are we going to go back to Texas?
I think we're going to go to Washington, D.C.
Okay, and who are they going to play?
Well, that's tough. I think they're going to play the Yankees, frankly, but... Well, I know. We'll see.
I saw that preview on Father's Day.
I know
Day.
You did.
The Yankees swept them in D.C. and they didn't break a sweat.
I know. I'd love it if they were playing Detroit. I love it if they were playing the A's. But we'll see.
You know, the PhD ceremony that we just had with Todd and his son Tim Cook.
That was great.
It was great. It brought back a lot of great memories. And Farley, we've got to get you to other ballparks next year. We've got, here's my goal for you. Within 3 years, we've got to have the Farley
PhD ceremony.
We have to. Even though I have to subpoena you. But you got to get a passport, Farley. Don't let Toronto be your Waterloo.
I do have to get a passport. Thanks for listening to Baseball PhD with Ed Kasputis. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and family to go to baseballphd.net. Be sure to check our archive section for previous podcasts. If you have any brilliant ideas or comments, you can email the show at ideas@baseballphd.net. This has been a Baseball PhD production.